You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
The 2013 world will present all kinds of challenges for a U.S. administration that spent the previous year running for a second term. But now, the new national security team will be looking across the globe to anticipate risks and scenarios that will drive policy here in the U.S. From war zones to the turbulent financial markets in Asia and Europe, national security is about intelligence, bullets, and the balance of trade. Joining us now, Ian Bremmer, the president of the Eurasia Group. Every year, the Eurasia Group releases a highly anticipated report on the most critical global issues, some obvious, others not so much. Ian, welcome to the program.
Glad to be with you.
So aside from the Middle East and Syria, which we'll talk about in a moment, what do you think is the most important issue facing Obama's national security team and the U.S. generally?
Oh, well, you know, 2013 is the first post-financial crisis year. We've spent 4 years really digging out. We've spent all of our time focused really on the developed world. The majority of the risks we're looking at 2013 actually come from emerging markets. They reflect two-thirds of the world's economic growth. They're on a path to three-quarters by 2020, and they're much more unstable. The downside is unbounded in terms of the risk that you see in those parts.
So you see the sort of social instability in India as a real driver of possible instability in South Asia?
Well, I really see geoeconomics as playing a much greater role in national security around the world. And for the last 4 years, we've treated emerging markets as these places that, well, thank God they're growing. Thank God there's upside. We can throw a lot of money there. Actually, a lot of these countries are not doing so well. They're facing real headwinds in 2013. The growth is lower, and they don't have the political capital to improve it. India is one of those.
And part of it in China and India is expectations about the middle class growing and the governments being unable or having a diminishing ability to satisfy those demands of the middle class.
That's right. The political legitimacy of these leaders is under question. And while that's also true in Europe and the United States and even Japan, it doesn't have as much impact. You start questioning the political legitimacy of leaders in India and China, you can stall growth or you can actually destabilize the regime. I mean, in China, growth is actually going to be quite high in 2013. But the insatiable desire for information and for internet access for the middle class is growing very significantly in China, poses a very real threat in 2013 to the Chinese regime.
And you're really talking about an information economy as well as the traditional financial economy. China trying to have control over it, they're not the only ones.
That's right. And if you think about the fact that the way the Chinese government had responded to that challenge historically was the Great Firewall of China. We're just going to stop the Chinese from being aware of information we don't want them to know about. Well, today, if you're in the middle class in China, you know that Wen Jiabao's family is worth $2.7 billion. You're aware of the fact that the average net wealth of the top 100 elites is over a billion. You really don't like it. And the Chinese government's response to that is to really crack down on any experimentation of individual elites and also to move towards much greater nationalism. That means that China's rise, which has been a great thing for the marketplace for the last 4 years, is increasingly going to be seen as a challenge and a threat.
Does that mean that the intelligence agenda in 2013 is beginning to focus on trying to manipulate that information economy, either directly address the Chinese citizenry in the use of our own sort of propaganda, the West's own propaganda, or is it China driving their own sort of intelligence agenda by trying to infiltrate intelligence and cyber networks around the world?
Oh, it's clearly both. The cyber attacks that are occurring, the industrial espionage against multinationals in Western developed countries, is becoming a very serious national security challenge. You've seen that from folks like Panetta, who believe that a virtual Pearl Harbor could be on our doorstep. But also, if you think about over 100 cities in China with sudden spurts, sporadic anti-Japanese demonstrations that were driven by the Chinese government. This is the big danger. If you are upset in China, the Chinese government wants to make sure that you're not upset with them. It's okay to be upset with others, and they'll help channel that.
As far as emerging markets go, what about Africa? What about Brazil?
Well, generally speaking, Africa is a great story. It's about 1.1 billion people. It's urbanizing. Over 75% of the increase in wealth in Africa in the coming years is not going to come from commodities. It's going to come from infrastructure. It's going to come from retail. That's a great story. But two of the largest economies in Africa have real headwinds in 2013. One is Nigeria. One in South Africa. Populism becoming much more important in South Africa. And actually, a lot of folks believe they're moving in a more business-friendly way. That's not true. We think that it's going to be seen as less attractive in 2013. Brazil looks great. Brazil is actually, of all of the quote-unquote BRICS, Brazil's the one that truly is on a path to becoming a developed economy.
Hugo Chavez, we probably see him fading from the scene in 2013. What does that mean for Venezuela? And let's end on the instability in the Middle East. Always an issue for your group and for national security teams around the world.
Well, first of all, energy markets, usually when the Middle East is exploding, you expect that energy prices are going to go way up. Actually, the bigger story in 2013, even bigger than the Middle East exploding, is all of this new energy coming online from the Western Hemisphere, unconventional oil and gas, Canada, Brazil, Mexico. And that means that we're probably going to see a more downside environment for energy prices. Someone like Chavez, who's been destroying his economy and now dying of cancer, that bodes really badly for Venezuela. The Middle East does have an awful lot of risk to it. It's probably going to look worse in 2013 than in 2012. We see it as an Arab summer. Arab winter is what a lot of people have been saying. That implies that you have the consolidation of dictatorships as opposed to democracy. Actually, it's not consolidation. Assad is hardly consolidating his regime. It's much more the rise of radicalism. It is a long, hot Arab summer, not the place you want to spend your July and August. We're going to be spending those months all year in 2013.
We have spoken for 7 minutes, Ian Bremmer, and not even mentioned the Eurozone financial crisis. Have we dodged a bullet? Is that over? The worst has passed?
The worst has not passed, and the worst hasn't passed in U.S. governance either. But the reason these aren't at the top of the list is because in developed states, even if things go badly, they don't go enormously badly. Washington politics are going to be utterly corrosive in 2013. The debt limit is much harder to deal with than the fiscal cliff. But ultimately, that slows growth a little bit. It doesn't lead to a recession. In Europe, with the absence of market pressure and with German elections coming in 2013, you're going to see less decisive movement towards integrating and moving towards fiscal union in Europe. 2013 is not the year we see the crisis end, but Europe doesn't implode.
Well, go to thetakeaway.org, check out the Eurasia Group's report on the top political and economic risks of 2013. Ian Bremmer is the president of the Eurasia Group. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation. More at rockfound.org. Additional support for The Takeaway comes from Independent Lens, featuring soul food junkies. Filmmaker Byron Hurt explores the health advantages and disadvantages of soul food. Premieres Monday, January 14th at 10, 9 Central on PBS.